Blog Talk Radio.
We're back.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's have some theme music. Let's have some fog coming in here. What?
Ray, you bouncing like you really DJing tonight.
Yeah.
I know, right?
I did it earlier.
You're way off of that Red Bull.
Hey man, you gotta. I need it for you, man. It's been a long day. And plus, I gotta, you know, we gotta show some love for our man Curtis coming back strong. If you can only see us, man, there's a lot of love for you. So that's what we do, man. So it's been a pretty amazing week, gentlemen. We are week two of the year, season six, episode 193, believe it or not. Once we hit that 200 episode, man, it's going to be amazing. So we've been going strong, if you will, too. So, again, welcome to another edition of Talking Sports with Hulk, man. We're going to try to stick on Tuesdays here, so this sounds seems pretty cool. And I just got to say, too, I know we give Rob a lot of hard times here, but we're going to show some love for JQ for actually showing up, too, man. So, you know, again, you know, represent pretty proud, man, you know. We're not going to make too many jokes on you, man. I mean, we only joke because we love, man. So, again, I'm going to start it off with you. We'll let Rob go first for the topic, if you will. But how you feeling this evening, if you will?
You know, disappointed, but not fully, you know, not, you know, that like it couldn't be expected. Alabama's just a whole different beast, especially this year. And they got off in the ass. That's all that can be said about it. So, you got to tip your hat to Alabama. They were the better team by a lot. They showed it, and it is what it is. You got to keep it moving. Hopefully, they don't lose too many recruits off of that, off of that butt whooping on national TV. But you know, he's got them at the doorstep. Last year, semifinals. This year, the finals. Maybe next year they break through. We'll see.
Gotcha. All good. Like I said, no, you should have any reason to be ashamed or anything like that too. Like I said, just I think the challenge that we ran into was just that again. Just the way that y'all handles Clemson, and then you're like, ah, you know, I don't know. They must have been listening to press clippings or whatever, too. But just shows you how clear that gap is with Alabama, too. So, yeah, just one of those things, man. So it is all good. Next thing, we got Mr. Robert Ford. He hasn't mentioned asparagus in a couple weeks, too, but I'm pretty sure it's about to happen. And also, again, we appreciate you again putting a mock draft on the sports page. So how you feeling this evening, sir?
Feeling good, man. Got my Tar Heels hat on. Just finished ripping up on Syracuse. Well, I got a few seconds left in the game. I think we're going to pull this one out. But, you know, anyway, you know, you mentioned asparagus. And I took a break from asparagus tonight, by the way. I had some for lunch. But wife and I went to an amazing Spanish restaurant in historic Ybor City in Tampa tonight. Man, started off with some amazing black bean soup, had a nice Cuban sandwich, and then I came back with some seafood paella, and then, of course, I finished it off with some churros, man. You know, you go to a Spanish restaurant, you got to have churros, right? So an amazing dinner. I threw a diet out the window tonight, so it was turning up Tuesday for us.
Yes, you did. I was going to say, come on. You got fat boy problems you got, boy. You was eating good today.
So I was like,
so
he's a big shot now.
The normal asparagus and fish and asparagus and chicken, you know, with no carbs, that went out the window tonight.
Yeah, man. You got to do it every now and again.
Got to do that, but tomorrow I'll be back.
Talking
on
about the Rob. Big shot, Rob.
I learned from you, Gary.
We're gonna get to. Oh my goodness!
Big shot, Bob.
Let's get to the man of the hour, Mr. Curtis. How you feeling this evening, sir?
You know, every day above ground is a good day.
And I'm working through some things, but I'm glad to be here. I'm with the 12th Man, the best show on radio, best show on podcast. So there we go. But, man, he mentioned the Ybor City, and I know at one time I was trying to figure out how to get that done, and now there's been some things getting in the way of getting that done, but now I'm going to try to figure out how to get that done again. We got a little time. If in that little time, I can figure it out.
Gotcha. We can make a mega strip of everything is safe too at some point too. So just remember that too as well. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You are up, sir.
You know, I'm feeling good. I'm if I were JQ, I'd be proud of my team. Like I'm sure he is. His team came in. I really thought, you know, that they were really going to give, you know, Alabama a real run. Alabama just proved to be the toughest. But I'll tell you what, I think it would have been a lot worse if Clemson would have been there because, you know, you guys beat up on Clemson pretty good. So it's a good thing Clemson didn't, you know. So congratulations to your team, number one, to making it as far as they did, you know, with seven games or whatever they played, you know. That's pretty impressive. But I feel good. I feel great because, you know, last week you guys could hear in my voice, you know, how worried I was about Curtis. Curtis is back on the air, so I'm ready to go.
Good deal. We appreciate everyone. Appreciate you fellas, as always, man, for showing up each and every week, man. That's all that we can ask for. So
JQ, I feel your pain because nobody, I don't think anybody hates Alabama on this show more than I do. So
no. No.
So
no, they don't.
I feel your pain. Yeah, I cannot bear to see Nikki hold up another trophy, so I had to go to bed. When the score went 52-24, I was like, that's it. I'm not going to stay up to watch Nikki hold that trophy again.
And the bad thing about it is my dad is a staunch Alabama fan.
Your
dad is? Well,
yeah, because he's from Mobile. So he, you know, it's either Auburn or Alabama down there. You know, he went with Alabama at a young age. So I haven't heard from him yet. I think he was trying to give me some time to heal, but I'm sure I'll hear from him the next day or two.
Probably
talk some trash to me.
Yeah, and then just like the Prince song, I heard Nikki started to cry last night too.
Yeah, you hear that? Yeah, you're so stupid.
Rob's got some serious problems, man. Oh, my goodness. The only thing I was going to say is that for Clemson and for that too, I think they had it coming for that. That's why, I don't know, it would be interesting to see that game, but they had it coming whenever your boy Dabble was talking about Ohio State. And then my last thing before we actually get started for the first topic, I remember I was driving, I was coming from a wedding, when I got pulled over from a cop. He said, Alabama or Auburn? I said, Alabama. He said, good luck, be safe. So I got out of that. So I got lucky, man, so there you go. So just a little FYI, man. See, I was stupid for, you know, even though, man, I was like, okay, yeah. He's like, roll tide. I'm like, all right, good. That's how I got out of that ticket, man. So, again, there you go.
telling me is not to wear my
ticket. Give me the ticket.
When I'm driving through Alabama.
I'll take the ticket.
That is exactly.
What'd you say, Rob?
I said, so you're telling me not to wear my helmet. Somebody said I'll take the ticket.
you're getting poke tickets.
Take the ticket.
Oh yeah. I ain't got no busted tail lights. You do now.
Oh man. Or he may feel sorry for it too and let you go too, like, oh man, I'm so sorry.
No, that's definitely not happening.
Mm-mm.
Oh, fellas, I
was watching the SEC network and Roman Harper and Mark Ingram. You know, they both played with the Saints at one time. And how they, you know, Alabama kicked our ass this year, like 55-17. And they were both on the air talking about how they wanted to score 100 on LSU. He said, man, we lived in New Orleans, man. Those LSU fans gave us hell. We wanted to put 100, we wanted to put 100 something on the board.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Hilarious. Gentlemen, really quick, let's talk the numbers real quick. I know we're a little behind here. We're having some fun reminiscing and whatnot. Again, trying to lighten the mood for the show. For everyone, as always, call into the show. Hopefully, again, Mikey Mike will call in. My wifey's brother, hopefully show some love. Number to call, as always, the same number is the 424-243-9519. Call us on that. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to 12th Man Sports, or if you put in Talking Sports 12th, you'll find us as well. So, again, we're not going to, like, beat up JQ too much. So, Rob, right out the gate, let's talk about the performance from Devontae Smith, if you will. And, you know, I don't know if it's worse, Rob, talking about Alabama, too, but let's talk about Alabama winning another national championship, if you will.
Well, obviously, you got to start off by congratulating. I don't like them, but they are machines. Nicky is the best coach in the business. You got to give credit where credit is due. And, you know, you look at since 1998 when the BCS era started, Alabama has the most national championships, what I believe, seven, I believe now. And, you know, and he takes credit for all seven of them. And the program that's got the second most in the BCS era is LSU with three. And Nick Saban, he's actually, he takes a lot of credit for revitalizing the LSU program. I mean, LSU was a sleeping giant before Nick Saban got to LSU. And he's the one that turned the program back around, got the local recruits in Louisiana to stay home. And the other coaches after him have just been able to, you know, keep it afloat and keep it at a high level. Not at his level, what he's doing at Alabama. So you got to give him credit. He's the best college football coach of all time. I don't like him. And but they are the best, and you got to give credit where credit is due. And Devonta Smith, man, he went out of the game in the third quarter, man. He had over 200 some yards receiving, and he didn't finish the game.
15 yards.
The 12 catches, three touchdowns, yeah. just mad, stupid, electric. And we haven't seen anybody be able to cover him all season long. Deserving Heisman winner. We don't see that normally from a wide receiver. But over 1,600 yards receiving in the season this year, just electric numbers. And then when you look at the depth of their football team, we talked about it all year long. You know, you've been seeing the mock drafts on the top 32 has just been filled with Alabama players. When you look at the two wide receivers, when you look at the quarterback, Mac Jones, when you look at Leatherwood on the offensive line, you look at Patrick Surtain on the defense, Dylan Moses. And so they have potential. You know, LSU had 5 first-round picks last year, which was a record. They have potential to break that possibly. They have a chance of getting 6 or 7 in the first round this year. So that's the amount of talent on the team, the amount of depth that they have on the team. And I know we're going to get to that topic in a minute, but I have preseason number one for next year, going into next year too, and just look at the depth. Got a 5-star quarterback in the waiting to take over, and they're just a machine right now, unfortunately. We need Mick McCoy. Saban needs to come up with another hobby and retire.
Yeah, I know, right? I want to say he's got 6 with Bama and 1 with LSU, right? But and you forgot that kid was a Barmore on the defensive line. Oh, he just ate Ohio State on the offensive line. He gave them absolute fits that whole game. And, you know, you got Wyatt Davis in there. You got multiple really good offensive linemen for Ohio State. Been mauling people, but they couldn't keep him out the backfield. Yeah, you got to tip your hat to them. They just showed they were the better team. Depth-wise, the safety got ejected for targeting. They still couldn't take advantage of him with the tight ends over the middle after he got kicked out, you know. And I would just love to talk to Kerry Combs, who was the defensive coordinator for Ohio State, and try to understand what in God's name was the game plan for Devontae Smith. Like, did y'all talk about him during these 10 days? You're like, you know he's the Heisman winner, right? Like, you might want to double that dude, and you damn sure can't put a linebacker on him in the slot. I was just at home like, okay, if this is the game plan, then we have no chance.
You shot anything. Like, you shot anything. You shot anything at that point.
Man, you can't put tough boiling on him, man, on one-on-one coverage out of the slot. I mean, come on, man. That's, you might as just walk into the end zone for him with that. So, I mean, he's just so good. He had them confounded. They used him multiple ways last night. They moved him around. They put him in motion a lot. And Ohio State just had no answers for him, nowhere where he was on the field. So you, like you said, he showed you why he's the Heisman Trophy winner. Nick showed you why he's who he is. He's that guy. Mac Jones played really well. Just top to bottom by the Alabama team. You know, all the stars showed up and played, you know, really good ball. They blew us out the water. And like I said, don't like it, but you got to tip your hat to them and move on.
Yes, indeed. You know, with Nick Saban, you know, that's what, 6 national championships in the last 12 years? No, that's, you know, that's incredible. And he is, unfortunately, he's just a big, that organization, whether it's specifically him or the organization around him, you know, what a selling point. You know, come to the Southeastern Conference, come to the best team in the country, and you're going to, you know, you're going to have all these NFL scouts looking at you all the time, and you're going to be, you know, that's what you want as a college athlete. You want to be noticed, you know. That's the organization to go to. That's been the gold standard for a while now. So it is what it is. I wasn't rooting for him, that's for sure. Curtis, what do you got?
Well, both of you guys made really good points. And what I wonder, and I think I'm seeing here, you could say that Nick and that Alabama program are great recruiters. But you look around the country, and if, like you said, if I'm a kid and I want to be noticed and I want – to totally be noticed by the NFL, I'm heading to Alabama. If I think I'm that bad and I think I'm that good, it's Alabama. And then JQ's point about they couldn't figure out, Ohio State couldn't figure out defensively. They didn't have a game plan for that defensively. And that was terrible. That you would thought that they could have thought that out a lot better defensively and mix some things up. And they failed to do that. Linebackers were not going to get it done. They just wasn't. And like I said, how long is that going to be? How are we going to even that out around the country? Because right now, the Southeast Conference and Alabama's got every big-time football athlete from all 50 states looking at that program and seeing what kind of mark they can make.
Yeah. You got another 5-star quarterback coming this year, Bryce Thomas. He's going to take over the quarterback position. So they don't rebuild, they reload. And you got Netsy coming back, a wide receiver. You got a lot of studs coming back on defense. And, they're my preliminary preseason number one for next year, too.
They got 3 of the top offensive linemen committed to go to Alabama next year. 3.
Yep.
There it is. We got Naj on the call. What's up, Naj?
You know, chilling. What's up, man? Celebrating JaVale McGee night. All praise due to the God out there balling. What's up, Will?
Happy New Year, man. We were just
Happy New Year.
This guy. He comes in firing. I love it.
Oh, my God. That's JaVale McGee.
Game.
For real. No, I'm just saying, we can't act like JaVale McGee night didn't happen. Like, you know, the man was balling. I didn't give up to the man. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the unexpected happens. Yeah, but, you know, both teams played hard. Shout out to Rasheed Wallace. Look, man, we all knew what the score was going to be with this game. We know what would happen. So, I mean, yeah.
Oh,
the fake championship is over. Alabama's crown champion. Nick Saban gets another ring. Yeah. Whatever, man. Pay the players, then come talk to me, man. I got nothing.
Oh, my gosh. we know how Naj is definitely more pro, if you will. He's not really a huge college football fan, but anyway, we appreciate you again.
I just appreciate paid labor. I don't appreciate apprenticeships. I don't appreciate sharecropping or any other form of servitude. If somebody shows up for a job, give them a check.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it. We got to talk about it too. So there's a couple things we want to talk about, because I definitely want to get into some pro games here. So we may speed it up because, again, we have the hard stop at 12 as always. But I know we want to talk about the top five. And also, looks like Alabama, this is some exciting news for all you fans out there, that Bill O'Brien looks like he's getting a job, man. He apparently must have pictures because he keeps getting jobs, man. So, again, looks like he is the next in line for the OC position, if you will. I think anyone could be successful in that position. I don't know. That's just maybe that's me. But, again, Rob, you can kind of touch base on that and then talk about the top five next year. And then we definitely want to get into what happened over the weekend here as far as some big NFL games and some big wins, if you will, too. So, yes, sir.
Well, absolutely. I think you said it best. I think anybody's going to be successful in that position as long as Nick Saban is the head coach, right? And Bill O'Brien is going to come in. Is he going to be as good as Sarkisian? I don't know. But I think he'll be successful because of the way they're recruiting and the talent disparity, right? Even in the SEC, you know, there's only a few schools that's getting recruits close to the level of what Alabama's getting, even in the SEC. So Bill O'Brien will be set up for success under Nick Saban and then with the talent disparity that he has there at Alabama. So. And Bill O'Brien is a guy that's under that Bill Belichick tree. So is Nick Saban. So they're going to get along quite well. I mean, they're going to be a perfect match. Might even be a better match than Sarkisian and Saban.
And, you know, Reclamation Project is what he does. Lane Kiffin, Sark. Like, especially when Sark came in,
yep.
Coming off of just being a full-blown drunk. I didn't think that was going to work out at all. And he balanced trying to be the Texas new head coach with a great game plan and beat the brakes off my Buckeyes. So didn't see that coming. So, you know what I'm saying? You take all that other responsibility off him and say, hey, you just do what you do best, run an offense. I think it can work. And, you know, everybody's going to be a skeptic until they see it work on the field. But I agree with you. As long as, you know, he's got Saban that'll give me the face and say, nah, bro, we're not going to do no shit like that, then he's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Saban rarely lets his team lose focus, and that includes his coaches.
Yeah. They just don't make too many mistakes and too many wrong moves, so it's hard to question a team that's had that much success. So it is what it is.
The big question is Sarkisian in Texas. Oh my God!
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Don't get too drunk in Texas.
And, you know, come on.
They may string you up.
On 6th Street in Austin, too?
Yeah, they...
I better keep Sarkisian off 6th Street down in Austin.
And they're not going to be fooling around in Texas.
Yeah. Y'all know 6th Street in Austin is the new age Bourbon Street.
Oh my
God. Yeah,
yeah.
Sark is a. I ain't going to mess with that man. He's got a problem. He's trying to do better about it.
I like the
hire top five.
Texas, if you ask me.
You do?
Oklahoma is winning the Big 12 every single year. Why? Because they got an innovative offensive coach in Lincoln Riley that nobody else can either outscore or top. And Texas is going to get a guy in Sarkisian. Let's face it. You know, he's a brilliant offensive mind. Did he previously have a drinking problem? Absolutely. You know, from what we can see, it looked like he maybe passed that. But they have to get somebody to come in there. And, huh?
I said it wasn't nothing to do with Tuscaloosa. Like you said, wait till he gets out without all that. There we're going to find out. Ain't nothing to do with Tuscaloosa, man.
Yeah. But, you know, with nothing to do, that could lead you to drinking too, right?
That's
oh
true.
My God.
That's true.
Well, it's
that's
to
true.
Do. But they have to get somebody there that's going to be coming with some innovative offensive mind and get some. Hey, let's face it, there are a lot of good football players come out of the state of Texas. Now,
yep.
How can you get a lot of those recruits those wide receivers. Now they can go play in the NFL scheme right there in Austin. They can get pro-style quarterbacks to come in there and play in a pro offense to get them ready for the next level. That's going to be a sales pitch right there in Texas. And I'm real curious to see how it goes. In order for them to beat Oklahoma, I think they needed somebody like that that can bring some innovation to their football program, which they lack right now. And they're lacking in appeal to recruit the players right there in their own state.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. All right, let's move on to the NFL here. We're going to start with Naj here because, again, I know how much he loves Cleveland, if you will. So we got to talk about that big game, Cleveland's big win over Pittsburgh. And then also we're going to segue that into is Big Ben done in Pittsburgh. So that's how I want to kick it off, too. So, again, Naj, I know how much you love that, man. We're going to let JQ's favorite team time take a rest here. But there you go, Naj. You get the first crack at this one.
Okay. Well, look, Big Ben should be gone. He's owed $41 million next year. He's clearly regressing. He can't really practice much because the injuries have taken a toll. And give Ben, Big Ben his respect. The reason why his body is so battered is because when he was younger, we all saw him hang in the pocket and take all of those hits, defensive linemen hanging on to him and pulling at him. All of that stuff, you know, over time, man, it accumulates and your body starts to break down. He's at a point now to where it's better for him and the organization for him to go off into the sunset and retire. I don't know if he wants to come back or if they're trying to, you know, slightly push him or nudge him out the door. But we'll see. But older $41 million quarterback who can't throw deep and is immobile to the point of where he can barely bend over to pick up a fumble, like, that guy should not be playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, Ben needs to walk it off. Now, as far as the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, look, the Steelers were going to be contenders and a really good team if the linebackers and everybody else stayed healthy. Once that defense was decimated after, you know, they were undefeated, it became a whole different team, and Cleveland knew they had their number. So Cleveland was really physical. They were live, and I feel like Pittsburgh was a step slow all night, and they really beat them up all night. And really, them going to the prevent defense and Pittsburgh kind of scoring afterwards kind of made the score look a little closer or made the game look a little closer. But honestly, Cleveland – I mean, they beat them down. That was old school, out physicaling you. And those two running backs for Cleveland are really, really good. I thought Baker was poised, played within himself, hit every open target. And for them to do that without their head coach and everybody else dealing with COVID and all of that, that says a lot, too. So you're looking at two teams going in different directions. However, I do expect Cleveland to go home next week. Enjoy your win,
even
Cleveland, but you are Cleveland. Let's not get ahead of ourselves and start talking about being Super Bowl contenders and all this. Like, calm down, Cleveland.
Talk
you got a playoff.
Coming back.
Be happy. Be happy. The mistake.
Yeah,
by the
listen. I agree with you, and I was watching that game actually with Mike, and I was like, you know who's super happy right now? What's happening? Is the Kansas City Chiefs. They was like, hell yeah, we messed around and get Cleveland now. No, Buffalo's home. Like, wait a minute, we get Baltimore next week? Like, I know that because you can't tell me they didn't know that. In their mind, Kansas City probably was thinking, damn, we got to deal with Lamar's ass here next week. They didn't think – I don't think they thought Cleveland was going to do that to Pittsburgh, especially the way they did it to them. Right. But Kansas City, I know if you gave them some truth serum, they was like, hell yeah, because like you said – they still Cleveland. And I'd much rather have Cleveland come this year than have to deal with Baltimore's dangerous ass. So, you know, it is what it is. And
hey,
I agree with you on
being them against Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh said, hey, it's Cleveland is still Cleveland, right? And that's,
yeah.
That's
but that's that AFC North robbery. And you take that out of the equation now, you're sending them to Kansas City. That's a whole different ball game. But going back to Big Ben, when you see him and Pouncey on the bench, you know, crying head down, and they both had made a pact to each other that they were only going to play as long as the other one was going to play, they were going to retire together. When I saw them crying at the end of that game, as many battles as they've been through, and, you know, if you think you're coming back and you look around, you're like, you know what, we might be able to run this thing back and make the playoffs. You don't sit there and cry, you know, and watch the other team celebrate. Like, when you see them sit there and cry, that leads me to believe they are strongly leaning to both hanging it up.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, when you look at that, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay, it's nothing new. We've been talking about it for about the last 5 or 6 weeks. Number one, they can't run the football, right? When you look at that offensive line, you look at the running back position, they hadn't been able to run the football for the second half of the season, and we knew it eventually was going to catch up to them, right? And then when you lose guys like Bud Dupree, as Naj already mentioned, on the defensive side of the football, everything just caught up to them, right? And then to start off that game with all the turnovers, they shot themselves in the foot and the ass. And so I mean, 28-0. I mean, hey, it's true.
In the ass.
Shut up, Bob.
Oh, my God.
You know, Rob, on this, right, I mean, it was
no,
10 seconds before kickoff. And my dad says, hey, who did you pick on this one? And I said, well, you know, I picked the Steelers because I just don't believe in Baker Mayfield. Next thing I know, they spiked that ball over his head. He can't bend down to pick it up. It's a touchdown. I tell my dad, I said, you know what? They're going to march down there. It's going to be 7-7. It's just going to be like 0-0, you know. Next thing I know, it's 14-0. I'm like, you know what? I think this one's over. I really think this one's over. I think you had something there. But Baker Mayfield.
Before I can even get into the game was 14.
You know what? I
sat down
right.
And ate dinner after the Saints game and took a breather. And so before I could start watching the game, it was 14-0.
Yeah. And, I think that with with Baker Mayfield, he did he made some good throws, and he didn't, let his team down, which is what I was anticipating. He is going up against, Mahomes, so he does have a playoff win at least. So that's good for him.
Well, he didn't turn over the ball. That's the key. You know, he threw three touchdown passes, didn't turn over the ball.
Yep.
You know, he didn't.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't hurt his team. And as Nod said, he's very poised back there. And then the running game. When you got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, they can both run the football. They can catch the ball out of the backfield. Arguably, they might have the best 1-2 punch of running back in the league. I can't think of anybody that's got a better 1-2 punch at the running back position in the league. So when you think about that, and they may get some more of the offensive linemen back this week against the Chiefs. I still like the Chiefs, by the way. But – I mean, they get some of the offensive linemen back in this game. This is a team, we've been talking about it for the last 2 years, that talent-wise, we know they have it. Can they put the pieces and the chemistry together is the key. And you got to give Stepanowski a little credit here that they are starting to put some of that together here. And let's face it, he's got Baker Mayfield believing. He's got Baker Mayfield playing within himself. Mm-hmm. Do we think Mayfield's going to ever be a superstar quarterback? Probably not. But he doesn't have to be. If he's got those studs at running back, he's got that offensive line, he's got some of the weapons that he have out there in the perimeter, and then you got guys like Myles Garrett on the defensive end, this team could be a contender for quite some time if they're able to keep it together.
Hitting on the head.
Yeah.
He's going to react to pass.
Yeah. But what I feel for – and I really like the guy, and Pittsburgh's coach. I don't think he had that team ready.
Injuries.
And that's just way too bad. And I kind of put that on Tomlin. You know, I don't know why his team thought that they were going to have an easy road to wherever they thought they were going to go to. You have to take every one of these Sundays, every one of these football games seriously, because when you don't, you get embarrassed like they did. Tomlin, you should not have let that happen to you. You really should not have.
I don't know, Chris. I hear you, but it's a playoff game. If I got to hype you up for a playoff game, you're in the wrong business. Like, I just think they got we can't curse on this show, so let me, I think they just got the
behind. Well, JQ definitely says all the time.
I think that's what it was, man. But now the problem with Baker is, like, we're speaking about him as if he's a fifth round draft pick or a free agent quarterback. Like, he played within himself. He didn't turn the ball. Like, that's how we're talking about him. Problem is, he's the number one pick, and the extension on him is going to be, you're going to pay $120 million or something like that. Are we comfortable, after watching Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, are we comfortable with giving Baker that contract if you were in that office?
Shit, no.
Are you sliding that across the table?
Shit, no. You just said it. I told you that when we talked about it with Goff and Wentz. I said, I've said it with the NBA and NFL, I said I could never be a GM. Because not in my right mind could I hand off and get Van Vliet $80 million and give him Baker Mayfield $120. Like, what? No, I'll just sort of suck and get somebody in the draft that I know is worth that money next year. I'm not giving Baker Mayfield that kind of money. I mean, that should be enough proof. I bet you if they do that, as much as they like Baker right now, if he goes and asks for stupid money, them fans of Cleveland will be like, nah, playboy. We can't keep everybody else. You're not worth that kind of money.
But he's a number one pick. True statement. His extension, it calls for that. I mean, that's the salary it calls
for. I'll let somebody else do it. I hear you. I'm going to let you pay for him. No, I ain't going to do it.
And he's probably the 15th or 16th, 17th best quarterback in the league. You know, maybe the top 15, you know, so he's not going to get that money.
Well, how do you turn him down? That's the tough part. We saw this with Andy Dalton. We saw this with Carson Wentz. Go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one of the things I really think about Baker, though, Baker kind of fits Cleveland. He's kind of got a moxie and a cockiness to him in a town that kind of needs that for their football team. And I see a value in Baker that isn't just football. I see a value in his football attitude, his football acumen, and as cocky as he is. And I think that team really needs that. And it really needs that going forward. And I think that's the value in Baker.
Till he dropped that 7-9 on their ass after going to the playoffs. We go see how they 11 did.
There it is. All right, gentlemen. For the sake of time, we got about it's 11:37 here. I know we try to get off here by 12, and I know when it gets to Rob's mock draft. But if you want to talk about any game, if you will, over the weekend here, that's fantastic. I'm gonna kind of throw it around. We got the Rams, the Packers, Ravens at the Bills. Great game. Bills are the Browns and the Chiefs. We don't know what's going to happen with that. And then we got the Bucks and the Saints. I think Rob will probably touch base on that. I'm very curious to hear about Doug Peterson getting out in Philly. That was crazy. Them jokers fired a coach even after he goes to the Super Bowl. You wish the Falcons had the courage to do that beforehand, but that's all good. I can't believe they got rid of him. I was like, man, I thought he had a little bit more time. They like, So Philly fans, it's interesting to hear their response too, but that was kind of a surprise to me too. But I do want to get to your mock draft too, Rob, because I'm curious as far as you got the Falcons taking Devontae Smith, and again, I was like, woo, because I'm kind of torn.
Man, I don't want to see that.
Because, you know, I'm a fan of Jamar Chase too, but I'm like, man, that's kind of like, man, you know what I'm saying? His performance, you know, we love Alabama receivers, obviously, but it's just one of the situations where it's like, is that just, you know, we're trying to say something with that move right there. I don't know. But anyway, that's a lot to talk about and digest, but we've got a couple things to hit.
Before we hit all that, can I just ask who had Alvin Kamara during Championship Week in fantasy for y'all?
Man,
we didn't. It wasn't the fantasy. Wasn't me.
Well, I can tell you, I played in four. I went in one of the championship games. I went in. The guy I was going against had Alvin Kamara on the Championship Week, and of course, he beat me by 11 points. He beat me 197 to 186. But hey, I can't argue. Alvin Kamara got 6 touchdowns for him. I have to live with that.
Yep.
We'll do the fantasy shout outs in a minute, but yeah. But other than that, I didn't have Kamara on any team, but that was the only one I went against him in the championship.
Yeah.
I had him in the league, but I didn't make the championship. I was in the third place game and would have destroyed everybody. Of course, we just went nuts. I was like, this is just bullshit. How can we do this in the week beforehand? Anyway, the one I want to talk about is the Ravens and the Bills. To me, outside, the Bucs and the Saints, the Ravens and the Bills, because Josh Allen and we talked about Stephon Diggs were playing at such a high level. They still are. But to me, I didn't like the fact they let Indy get back in that game when they had him down. They didn't get that killer instinct in there. And I know they're young, so that could happen. But I don't care what you say. Them boys did not want to see the Ravens come rolling to town. And Lamar has now got that monkey off his back where he's finally got that playoff win. So now he can probably play a little freer. I have a hard time right now picking against Baltimore. And I know the Bills have a good defense. And Josh Allen can still get it done. But I don't like that matchup for the Bills. You know, they get the Ravens have that running game. They can keep Josh Allen on the bench. You know, you got Harbaugh, who's an experienced coach who's been in these situations. I think they can just make enough plays on offense to win. And then, like I said, Buffalo gave up too many plays to me to let Indy be back in that game. So I'm really interested to see that. But like I said, the elation in Kansas City, and I know Buffalo was like, well, we Buffalo, yeah, yeah, yeah. But they didn't want the Ravens in this divisional round. I just don't believe it.
Wow.
Yeah.
JQ,
you know what?
JQ, the only thing that I would say on that is that's typical Philip Rivers game. I'm going to play my ass off when I'm down, and we're going to make it respectable, but I'm going to lose. That's typical Philip Rivers, and I think that's what happened.
Wow.
Philip
Rivers is down by three, has to go 80 yards with no timeouts every game, and that's how it is.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Here's how I look at that game. I kind of agree with you, JQ, and there was a strong part of me was leaning toward picking the Ravens to go on the road and beat Buffalo. And now that the snow percentage chances are increasing in Buffalo, it's making me want to go with Buffalo now in that game. And, the fact that Lamar Jackson said he's never played in snow before, I don't know how much of a big deal that's going to be in, but it makes me lean a little bit more toward Buffalo pulling that game out now. But I agree. I was strongly leaning toward Buffalo prior to hearing the snow factor and that Lamar hadn't played in a game in snow before. So that's going to be real intriguing. I think Buffalo wins the nail-biter in that one. I'm going to go Buffalo by a field goal, 26-23, at home in that football matchup. We already talked about the Chiefs, and, I like the Packers over the Rams. I know the Packers might have some offensive line concerns, and the Rams playing outstanding defense right now, but I'm going to go with the Packers in that one, too. I'm going to go 27-17 Packers. And then when you look at the Saints and the Bucs here, obviously it's tough to beat a team three times in the season. And the last time the Saints just whipped the Bucs like 38-3. But looking at the Bucs play here the last 5-6 weeks, one thing I noticed, Tom Brady's getting the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. He's not letting the rush get to him. And the last time the Saints played him, they were just killing Tom Brady. They were just getting to him, putting him on the ground. I still think the Saints squeaked this one out. I think it's just going to be a lot closer as well. I'm going to go Saints 34-28. Wasn't totally impressed with the Saints this past weekend, but I think, having Thomas and Kamara and Breeze all together another week and opportunity to gel, I think they squeak out a victory, and I think the Saints defense will make at least five big plays more than what the Bucs defense will.
That snow, I don't know, that snow changes things, but I think it changes things to Baltimore's kind of way of playing. The only problem is Buffalo is going to control how much snow is on that field as far as the facilities. I can expect it to be pretty clear because I feel like a clear field actually is better for Buffalo because Buffalo wins a high-scoring game against the Ravens. The Ravens want to play grinded out, less possession football. I feel like that's their shot to win. That's a tough one, man. I think I'm leaning Baltimore because of weather, because I think that's what they want, a grinded-out game. I don't think they want any parts of Josh Allen air raid style game. So I think I'll lean that way. As far as the Rams and Packers, yeah, I'm with you. I go with the Packers. I feel like the Packers will punt when necessary. Like, you guys aren't going to score. We're not going to take any risk. And when necessary, Devontae's going to make a play or two. Aaron will make a play or two. We'll just score enough points to win. But you guys aren't good on offense, and we're not going to let Aaron Donald and company beat us. So I just can't see the Rams going farther than this. This has been a great job by that coach out there in L.A., and I think we need to give him more credit because I had a lot of skepticism about them before this season started. But doing what he's done with what he has on offense, like, got to give it up to that dude. He's proven himself to be a great coach. That's a bad offense, man, and Jared Goff is terrible. So he got to give it up to that dude making it as far as they have. What's the other game? KC? Yeah, KC. Oh, go ahead.
It may not be, you know, if you talk about quarterbacks, you know, the Rams, they beat the crap out of Russell Wilson, and he's a mobile quarterback. They put him on his ass. And then you're talking about, you know, Green Bay with some offensive line woes. Boy, that front seven of the Rams is saying, ooh, that sounds yummy to me. Now, Aaron Rodgers is a beast of his own. And again, I'm going against the Rams, but again, I'm going to say it's not going to surprise me. I think it's going to be really close, but it's not going to surprise me if the Rams pull this one out as well. But I do believe that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's a special guy.
What does Cam Akers have to run for the Rams to pull that off? Like a ball control?
155.
155, yeah.
I think so. I think they got to control him. You got to keep Aaron Rodgers on the side. But you also got to think about it. Kupp has got a knee injury, and we don't know how severe that is. I think Dowell may have broken a rib when he was sacking Russell Wilson in that game. When he came out, you could tell he was having problems breathing. So I know they got, you know, some depth on that line, but Aaron Donald, we all can agree, is a stud and a big difference maker. And if that rib, I don't even try to shoot it up. If he can't be himself, then that's advantage Green Bay. So that's one of the reasons why I was picking would take Green Bay, because when they won that game, at the end of that game, as the injuries started to pile up for him, you're like, dang. And now you can't even turn back to the backup because I think he broke his neck. I don't know what they've said has happened to him, but when he got hit and his head bounced in like that and he was trying to stretch it out, he was doing like that and took him to the hospital, I said, oh, he might be in for real trouble. Now you got to depend on the quarterback, 3 weeks away from thumb surgery on his throwing hand? In the cold at Lambeau, tough.
Yeah, I didn't think they would beat Seattle.
So you're saying
we've
got a chance.
Yep. You hit on the nose with Aaron Donald, right? They don't have a healthy Aaron Donald. That's it. Ball game over.
Agreed.
Yeah, we'll get Chris back in a second. He looks like he had a jump up, drop off. Hey, Rob, real quick, let's get to these let's get to your NFL mock draft, and then we got to talk some fantasy shots, and we can wrap it up, whatever you guys want to talk about, too. So, there you go.
All right, last week, I did my draft. I did a top 18, now extended to the top 24, now that we got six more teams eliminated. Top two doesn't change. Still got Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville, Justin Fields to the Jets. Won't elaborate on that. Obviously, last week I had Miami taking the quarterback. This week I have them looking at the other side. They're getting some protection for Tua, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle. And then Miami has a second first-round pick at 18, getting another weapon on offense, and Rondale Moore, wide receiver from Purdue. So in Atlanta, of course, you mentioned it. I got them taking Devonta Smith from wide receiver from Alabama, something I do not want to see. And, you know, you said it, Atlanta likes to take wide receivers from Atlanta. And from Alabama. But let's face it. I mean, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons general manager, it's time to get rid of Julio Jones, right? The guy can't stay healthy. He's been injury prone the last few years. It's time to figure out a way to get rid of that contract, get him off that team, and get somebody else in there. Like I said, I don't want to see it, but if you're the general manager, you're getting another weapon to go to Calvin Ridley, and you get Julio Jones out of the building and maybe go help another team. But at least that's the way I would view it. Cincinnati got taken Gregory Rousseau, 6'6 pass rusher. He opted out this past season. Had a phenomenal year. Had double-digit sacks as a freshman at Miami in his whole career. So it'll be a dynamic pass rusher there. Jamar Chase, wide receiver from LSU. Philadelphia needs weapons.
All right, Chase.
I have him going number six to the Eagles. Zach Wilson, quarterback BYU. I highly doubt that Matt Stafford is going to be back in Detroit. And so this is an opportunity for them to get a young quarterback and start rebuilding for that organization. Joe Brady, offensive coordinator in Carolina, gets him a weapon at number eight. Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida. A dynamic linebacker, Michael Parsons, going to Denver. Wyatt Davis, offensive guard, Ohio State to Dallas. I'm going to skip around here a little bit. Caleb Farley, arguably the top corner in the back, corner in the draft. Have him going to the 49ers. Patrick Surtain going to the Chargers at 13. Trey Lance, the other quarterback in this draft. I have him going to New England at 15. So that would be interesting.
Wow.
Watch Mac Jones at New England, too. That could be an option there, too. Jalen Waddle, I have him going to Arizona, giving Kyler Murray another weapon to go with DeAndre Hopkins there as Larry Fitzgerald is getting down to the end of his career, too. I have Mac Jones going to the football team at number nine, and number 19, I'm sorry. And let's see who else I have here. Travis Etienne, running back Clemson, going to Pittsburgh at 24.
No, God damn it. If I'm the Bengals and it's not there for them, I think you need to trade back. I think sometimes those defensive rushers, you know, in the mid – you know, 5, 6, 10, man, they can flame out on you, and you're looking back like, oh my gosh, if they can't get that kid from Oregon and they can't move back, I think they look at Joe Burrow and say, hey, we should go get your homeboy. So if we can't protect your front, we're going to at least get you another weapon, because for the same thing you said about Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, night-night A.J. Green, that dude has lost about three steps, not one, a whole three steps. He can't get open no more at all. So I can see them saying, okay, you hit on T. Higgins. No, sir, he's a rock. He's a rat. So you put T on the outside, you put Jamal on the other side, you put Tyler Boyd in there, you hopefully get Joe Mixon back healthy, and you try to sign some dudes in free agent or load up on both lines in the other part of the draft. I hope that doesn't happen, you know, because I just – that fear factor for me is those defensive ends, especially when it's opted out, they sometimes have those big bust potentials when it's not just a that's that dude. Like, I just don't feel like that's that dude. So to take him at six, I'm like, please don't.
Yeah.
My draft question.
It's going to be real interesting.
Yeah, my draft question. Does Miami, what did they do with that pick? Do they stay with Tua or do they try to upgrade from Tua? That's going to be interesting. Miami and Tua. Are they going to move off of him? And what Philadelphia, what are they going to do with their quarterback situation in Philadelphia? And the Jets, what are they going to do with their quarterback situation?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Both of those are very intriguing situations. I think the Jets draft a quarterback here. I think Sam Darnold has a chance to revive his career or really do somewhere under the right coach. But I think he needs a fresh start, and I think the Jets need a fresh start. So you go with Jalen Fields. If I'm the Jets, I really look at Doug Peterson as an option there to go out of the road and coach with the Jets and see what he can do with a young quarterback and revive that program. And if I'm the Eagles, you know, I look at Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs here and see what they can do and go with Jalen Hurts. I think he's a guy. I mean, Carson Wentz has shown you that he's not that guy. Right, I think Eric Bieniemy will be a great fit for the Eagles, matching with Jalen Hurts there, and seeing what they did, and get them some weapons around there, like a Jamar Chase, another receiver in the draft, or be a free agency there. I know the Eagles are contacted. They contacted Todd Bowles today, defensive coordinator for the Bucs. But if I'm the Eagles, I'm trying to go up to Eric Bieniemy.
Nice.
Well, I think the Eagles are trying to take a giant step back. Because they should have kept Peterson. You know, yeah, the coach is responsible for the organization. They're responsible for the win-loss of the organization. But when you look back and you see what that organization has actually been through with the number of injuries and all of the things, that's their only Super Bowl quarter, you know, that's their only Super Bowl coach is Peterson. He's the one that's got them there. He's the one that's made that team relevant. And he's the one that made the decision to go away from, you know, Wentz, and maybe that's what the problem was. I'm not sure. But I thought it was a dumb move, but I'm glad it happened. I hope he goes to the Jets, and I hope he does well.
Yeah, and we need some clarity about the last game, pulling Jalen Hurts and bringing the other guy in. Like, we need some clarity on that. Did that come from up top, or was that from him? Because then you got to ask yourself this. Coaches talk. The same way these old boy clubs like guys like to hire each other, they also talk. So when Peterson gets out there and he says, look, man, they handcuffed me out there. I couldn't make certain decisions. They did stuff over my head, and it's a terrible job. Coaches are going to listen to that when it comes to Philly as far as their opening. And the reason you got so many people hurt and everything else is the GM, Howie Roseman, who's supposedly smarter than the whole world, always grades out well after a draft because he picks open box specials. And, oh, I got this guy in the third who they had a second-round grade on. Well, he has an injury history, a checkered past. That's why he fell to you. And you celebrate all these guys falling to you and the free agency pickups. And then when all of them actually get hurt, you can't turn around and say, well, you know, that stuff happens. No. You picked a lot of guys who were prone to be hurt, and they ended up getting hurt, and you lost your depth and everything that made you that championship team. And then we found out Carson Wentz is not good enough to carry lower-level talent. He has to have optimal talent to win, which brings some questions back to 2017 when everybody in the NFL said, well, quarterback is most important, so we're going to push these guys to the front of the draft because they're quarterbacks. Okay, what happens when you have to re-up and pay their option, and now you got Jared Goff and Carson Wentz for $140 million? Are you getting the best bang for your buck at that point? So there's some danger into saying you have to have the quarterback, you have to have the quarterback. Yes, you have to have the quarterback, but you don't have to make a guy into a franchise guy who's clearly not it. I've seen more in Joe Burrow playing with lesser talent this year than I've seen from some of these other guys who play with a lot of talent and haven't done much with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
There it is. Dang, Naj make me bring back a little mystical little danger. Been so
I've been on AK all day. I'm just saying, I don't know about that Philly job, man.
You got to mix that in our intro, Andre.
I should have it queued up too. So we're about to wrap this up. So I know it's been a long day. So let's let Rob get ready to get ready. I'm normally do the whole thing, but I can't be wrong if I do a little danger here. So again, let's have some fun. Go ahead, Rob.
That's the DJ himself, right?
Yes,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We're gonna stick to Tuesday night next week. We're going to be back on 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends in Portland and Seattle and San Francisco and L.A. Don't forget to join us next week. We're going to recap the division round of the playoffs, get you ready for the championship round in the NFL playoffs. Good night, people. We appreciate you all tuning in. See you next week.
Yes, sir. I can't say much better than that. You know, your boy's hanging in there. You know, we got the offseason. Like I said, his food got this Portland shirt on. We'll see. Go ahead and head into this NBA. Get ready for this March Madness. Hopefully we have March Madness. They talk about doing it all in Indianapolis. I don't know how that's going to work. We're going to find out here in the next month or so. But we appreciate y'all. You know, stay safe. Wash your ass. Wash your hands. Wear your mask.
There you go.
Whatever you feel.
Well said.
I cursed many times on the show, and all of a sudden I was like, can we curse?
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you talking about? You met me, right?
Hey, y'all talking about the college basketball, Gary Curtis, the Pacific Northwest, Gonzaga, man. Jalen Suggs,
yes, sir.
Point guard, 6'4", the real deal. If you haven't had a chance to watch him play yet, man, he is the real deal. So he's going to be one and done. Five-star recruit out of Minneapolis, went all the way to Gonzaga to play. And they definitely are the best team in college basketball right now.
Man, they play in St. Francis and St. Mary's and Pacific Palisades. Stop it. No, but that dude, that dude is for real, though. That dude is for real. I've seen Gonzaga play. I'm just being funny. Gonzaga's got a good team.
Yeah, you had, well, before they got into conference play, you got to realize how many big-time schools they played before that.
I know. I'm just messing
beat them all. Including
beat them all, yes.
Hey, they're favored
they
by three over. They're favored by three over Panera Bread, so it'll be a good matchup.
Wow. Just three, wow. Right?
That was a Curtis.
I've been trying to keep up with this stuff in the Pacific Northwest, and all I get is COVID blocked. There's so many college teams that got rescheduled games up here because of COVID concerns. It's hard to keep up, and it's hard to see a game up here because they get canceled.
Yeah, it's almost like they shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I was waiting. That train is never late.
Oh, man.
You don't have to say
I was waiting.
But we're still in Palm Springs.
We all got to get vaccinated,
and I'm still practicing up for the Schaefer JQ challenge. You guys will be witnessing.
Right.
I'm getting ready. I'm sharpening the game.
I want a front row seat for that.
Yeah, man, I'm going to mess around and dye the rest of my hair gray. I'm going to jump the line. I'm going to get in that vaccine line somehow. Old folks, sickly, anybody. I'm pushing them out the line. I'm going to be like George Costanza. I'm pushing people out the line. I'm getting up there and getting that
George
shot.
Costanza,
yeah. George Costanza. Oh, bro. You showed your age there, Dodge. That's a funny shot.
Wow. You are nuts.
Hey, that's my man. That's my man. It's still syndicated, bro. And if it's on, I'm watching.
Yeah, that's
my man.
Yeah,
man.
Oh, goodness.
Come on, man. You should be watching.
Have fun, guys.
See it, man.
But seriously, if you go to one of these vaccine lines, if you give one of those people $40, you think they ain't gonna let you jump the line, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I can get in there, bro.
How many people you got to get $40, man?
Right,
you jump a lot of people.
You got to pick the right one. Now we can't be just handing out 40 willy nilly. Now, hey,
you have to give him that poor man stimulus check.
You know what I mean? Slap that 40 on him real quick. Hey, homie, what's up? Let me get that line.
Oh man!
Oh my goodness. Anyway, well, gentlemen, it's been fun. Again, we wanted to kind of keep a nice stop so everyone can get back to some normalcy here. So again, we appreciate you guys showing up. We're gonna be on Tuesdays. Curtis, man, we appreciate you so much, man. Keep fighting, man. You're always in our prayers, man. Generally, guys, you're all in our prayers. Everyone on the show, I will try to prevent you guys and whatnot too, because it's still not out of this yet too. So keep it going, man. You're an inspiration for us. And
yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else to say, gentlemen, before we get ready to wrap this thing up.
No, sir.
Just we appreciate you guys out this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we appreciate y'all too, brother.
It was good
for
me to
RV,
be on
man.
Yeah, it was good for me to be on this show today. And I just felt pretty good. Yeah, this was a little bit of normalcy for me.
Glad to have you back, brother.
We appreciate you joining.
Keep that fight,
keep
man.
Fighting, man. Yeah. You're a team
and lastly,
keep fighting, brother.
I hate to use this. I normally don't pull this out, but I have to use my reverse jinx and root for Tampa Bay this week. And hopefully that finally brings the downfall of Tom Brady that I have been wanting for the last 20 years. So I'm using my reverse jinx and rooting for Tampa this week. And hopefully I mush them out of the playoffs with some bad luck.
Whatever you need to do to help my Saints win this week, I love it.
Hey, I'm a Saints fan this week.
Good.
Wow.
Hard to beat those teams.
That's powerful right there.
Three times. Hard to beat them three
times. Oh, yeah.
Times.
The hatred for Tom Brady is a lot, man. Oh, man, don't get me started on that. Look. My junior and senior year ended in the same building. We were playing the number one team in the nation. I hate to take this back to Al Bundy, like high school like Al Bundy. Number one team in the nation, junior and senior year. One of the pregame speeches, a line from our coach, "It's hard to beat a team three times in 1 year." You know what the number one team did to us? They beat us three times in 1 year, 2 years in a row. In and out.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, since 2000, anytime a team has played three times in 1 year.
Well, they did, okay? And we went home. That was that.
Well, you didn't have Tom Brady on your team.
Yeah, clearly.
That is hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
If a team was swept by a team in the playoffs and then they played them again, it swept by a team in the regular season and played them again in the playoffs, the team that swept them won 70% of the time. So hopefully that works in the Saints' favor this weekend.
Well, that stat's going to change one way or the other.
That sounds like desperate gambler logic. Now I'm getting nervous.
Yeah,
don't
bet
on that game,
Nash. On the playoffs.
I'm not betting on it.
Was it?
But I'm not the worst psychology on it, Nash. Whatever works.
Yeah, but the biggest money I've ever made on the playoffs was actually there was a time when Oakland and Seattle were in the same division. Believe it or not, Oakland and Seattle were in the same division when I was growing up. And the Seattle team beat that Oakland team twice in that regular season and met the Oakland team in the playoffs. And I couldn't see Seattle beating them again. And that's the most money I've ever made. And that was the Marcus Allen team that ended up beating Washington in the Super Bowl. But they went in as a wild card.
A man who's willing to gamble against his team is a man who has my respect, man. Can't be out here all fair weather fan, all happy and go lucky. Nah, man, if you think an outcome is going to be an outcome, go the other way. Absolutely.
Hey. I'm the same way in fantasy. I don't pick a guy just because he played for the Saints. I'm trying to win.
Right. We're trying to win.
So I like your boy Mark Robinson, Andre.
You know how many dumb Cleveland fans are going to move that line against Kansas City by the time this weekend comes? Because they're always going to jump their money on the Cleveland. There's the Browns. Like that's what fans do. Don't be a fan. Be a sports fan, but not a fan. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, not a fanatic
really
is what I would normally say.
Right. Yeah, really good games on the marquee. That Baltimore game, that's going to be great. And that Baltimore-Buffalo, and I think there's going to be a good game come out of New Orleans.
Sports writers are salivating, man. They get to write the Tom Brady story or the Drew Brees story. They are salivating.
Yep.
And history, 2 40-year-old men dueling.
Yeah, well, this 40-year-old man's going to take his ass to sleep.
Good night, gentlemen. Be good.
All right,
good night, gentlemen.
Be safe.
Have a great week. See y'all next Tuesday. Be safe.
All right.
Yes, sir. I'll see y'all later.
I don't know where I'll.